Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Things were going pretty well 500 years ago. There was one Christian church, one message, and one truth, at least from Rome's perspective. Now, sure, there were people who didn't completely buy into the doctrine and gathered together in hopes of influencing change in the papal office. But those groups remained little more than a mosquito on the arm of the Pope and were easily swatted away before they became anything more than a nuisance. These groups may have grumbled. They may have felt aggrieved, but one thing they didn't feel was the confidence to stand up to one of the most powerful political structures of the known world. That is, of course, until Luther came along. And his hammer and nail instilled in them the boldness that they lacked in their efforts. Now, Luther may have simply desired that the church reform its doctrine, but instead, he forged a path and then paved the way for these groups to splinter from the church and author their own doctrines. Now, every year during this time, we look at the impact that Luther had on freeing the gospel message from the very grip of the Catholic Church, but we rarely consider the consequences that his efforts had that continue to ripple throughout time, that are even felt today. Now, to be clear, I'm not standing here this morning and proffering that he made a mistake in his actions, that he should have maybe left his hammer at the monastery. What he did had to be done. What he did set a message free that had been held captive for many, many years. But what he also did is complicate life for us today. Now, before we go much further, we need to look at the gospel passage this morning because it provides a foundation for this message. The verses that we read are part of a much larger conversation that Jesus is having with these Jewish leaders. He's teaching them that he is the truth, the light, and the one sent by the Father to bring freedom from sin. And we then get to our passage that we read. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." "The truth will set you free," Jesus said. As Pilate once said, "What is truth?" You see, 500 years ago, there was one truth, and it was dictated by the Catholic Church. But because of Luther, that truth was challenged. There were now two. And just as quickly, that number grew. As the years progressed, more and more and more and more truths. Today, there's more than 40 documented denominations, 20,000 if you count the independent church organizations. But however you count it, the number is still greater than one. And either way, the question still needs to be answered. What is this truth that will set us free? Now, every Christian denomination will agree that truth is defined by Jesus. But every Christian denomination seems to have interpreted that in a different way. And because this freedom of interpreting truth sprang from Luther's Reformation, it's only fitting that it become a topic on this Reformation Sunday. So, the truth that Jesus talks about in this passage is nothing less than the gospel. It is nothing less than the message that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That sounds simple. It sounds straightforward. How can this message be misinterpreted? Now, we can come up with a long list of reasons, but at the very center of them all lies this: sin. You see, it's through this corrupted lens that we see the world, that we see Jesus, that we see the salvation that he has won for us. And it is through our own sinful eyes and sinful ears that we hear this message and believe that it must be more complicated, that it must require us to do something. Or even worse, we suppress this message of freedom from the ears and the heavy hearts of the afflicted so that we can exert power and influence over them. Or maybe we simply don't understand what Jesus meant and would rather interpret it for ourselves than seek his answer in Scripture. However it happens, it happens. The message of freedom, the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel itself, is watered down, it's distorted, it's misinterpreted, and it's used for sinful gain. And if that is a version of a gospel that a person hears, how can he be set free? Won't his heart still suffer the guilt of sins that he believes are unforgivable? See, Luther opened this door because he wanted to correct the teachings of the church. He wanted the pure gospel proclaimed, the true gospel proclaimed. He wanted the truth to go out into the world. And he got what he wanted. But he got a whole lot more. And so we come back to our earlier point, the impact that his actions have on us today. See, we look out into the world and we see the gospel proclaimed in many variations. Some serve to exclude. Some serve to include. There's gospel messages that preach salvific partnership with Jesus himself. They're messages of cooperation, of coordination. I say this, Jesus does that. There's also gospel messages that preach subordination between Jesus and ourselves. If we do enough good, if we pray to enough saints, if we ask the mother to mediate on our behalf, eventually Jesus will be persuaded to open the doors and let us in to heaven. There's even gospel messages that have removed the gospel message completely. They teach that we should build in ourselves enough faith, tell Jesus what we want, and he then fulfills our wishes. Eternal life, what's the value in that? I have bills to pay. I have houses I want and cars that I know I need. We can talk about salvation some other time. So where am I going with all this? And I know that of all Sunday mornings, I've given Luther a bad rap. So let me redeem myself. See, what Luther did 500 years ago is a call to action for what we must do today. We must protect the truth. We must protect the gospel message. Luther had the courage to take a stand when the truth was not being proclaimed. Do we? If he were alive today, would he find a hammer and a nail in our hands? See, the gospel message is what we've got. The gospel message is all we need. And it's all the world needs. And it is something that the world needs. They don't need a watered-down version. They don't need a version that keeps them chained to guilt. They need the truth. They need to be set free. And the only way that they will be set free is if they know the truth, the real truth, the one from Jesus himself. Jesus took the punishment for their sins. Jesus died for them. Jesus conquered death for them. Jesus did it all for them. This is the truth. It's the real truth. And it's the truth that the world needs to hear. And it's the truth that we need to protect. Now, this is a truth that is a matter of life and death, not earthly life and earthly death, eternal life and eternal death. It's a truth so important that we must not allow a false truth, a different gospel, to reach their ears. And if that happens, we must fight it with our very lives. We must not allow any distorted gospel, any contorted man-made truth to drown out the one true gospel message from God. And what is that truth? Paul once wrote, "It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what is most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said." It is a message that is nothing less than what Jesus has done. It is a message that is nothing more than what Jesus has done for us. It is a message that finds its completeness in the work of Jesus Christ, crucified, died, buried, resurrected. There is no room for us to add anything to it. We can receive these benefits of this message, but we cannot contribute to it. And so on this day, we remember the Reformation. And let us remember also what Luther did. He set the truth free from where it had been held captive. But now that the truth is free, it's being distorted. And it's up to us to protect it. It is up to us to fight for it. It is up to us to stand up for it. It is up to us to never back down, ever. The hammer has been entrusted to us. What will we do with it? Please pray with me. Martin Luther set in motion a movement that freed the true gospel message into the world. Today, that message is being manipulated for the sinful desires of the world. Lord, we stand today ready and willing to protect it, to proclaim it to all the world. Guard us as we guard your message of salvation. In your name we pray. Amen.